Hallo zusammen, eine neue Episode All About Voice, Nummer 13 schon und nicht die letzte in diesem Jahr. Und wir haben heute ein spezielles Thema, denn vor nicht weniger als 4 Wochen fand die All About Voice Konferenz statt, zum ersten Mal in Deutschland. Und wir möchten gerne ein bisschen darüber sprechen, was wir da so gemacht haben, was wir da so erlebt haben. Und dazu habe ich einen ganz besonderen Gast, und zwar Diana Lee. Und Diana Lee war unter den Teilnehmern der Konferenz und hat einen ziemlich langen Weg auf sich genommen, um daran teilzunehmen. Und darüber spreche ich jetzt mit ihr. Ich muss dazu in die englische Sprache wechseln, denn der Weg war wirklich so weit, dass wir das Ganze jetzt heute auf Englisch machen. Und ich freue mich sehr und ja, wünsche euch viel Spaß bei der heutigen Episode von All About Voice. And now let's start in English. So I would love to introduce Diana Lee from the US, and you will tell us and the audience, who are you and where you're from? What are you doing? Hi.
Sure. I'm Diana Lee. I work in San Francisco, and I'm working on bots in general. So I write the copy that goes inside bots, which is basically like the conversation script, right? And it could be voice or text, depending on the kind of project.
Okay, but you're located in Silicon Valley, or where are you?
Yeah. So San Francisco, downtown.
Okay, great. That's awesome. And you would call yourself what? What's your position or your profession or what's your?
Yeah. So it would be conversation designer, because you're essentially designing the interaction that a user would have with the chatbot.
Okay, and now you have taken part in the conference in Germany. So that's a kind of a special story here as well. How did we came up with this? So how did you manage to come to Germany? And maybe you could share the story behind it with the audience.
So I found out about the conference through a newsletter that I'm subscribed to. Shout out to Kane at VUX World. So it was my first voice conference, it was nice because, you know, it was a nice reason to go to Europe, let's say. So I just, you know, planned it with the vacation that I was planning. So perfect timing.
Okay. Yeah, and you managed to get a free ticket for the conference because you took part in the draw and the raffle from Kane, and you shared your thoughts why 2018 is the year of voice, and you were one of the lucky winners of a ticket, and as you said, it was your first voice conference here. And why the first? I mean, and there were a couple of conferences as well in the US so far.
Yeah, I think maybe I just haven't come across it very much. But I didn't know actually there was a conference that was specific to voice UI. I had seen other like bots conferences, but you know, I think it is interesting how in like this time around, voice seems to be, not that it hasn't been around before, but it's gaining significantly more exposure. And that's just a little bit interesting to me coming from, you know, starting to work on bots in 2016. And I think 2017, there was a little bit of a dip. So it's just interesting that there just seems to be so much more, you know, public knowledge about what voice UI can do.
Yeah. So that was kind of your expectations here for the conference in Germany, or did you have any expectations?
I don't think I really had any solid expectations. I mean, I was expecting it to be pretty well-rounded, which I think it was, because it covered It covered anecdotes from people who have launched a skill, for example. But I think the most valuable for me was actually the legal part of it, because I think that just sort of gets swept under the rug sometimes. But that actually does decide what kind of interactions you can have with the user. Speaking from experience, that does end up becoming something that you have to address, and it's better to address it sooner than later before you're ready to just launch it. So it was a very practical session for me.
Yeah, that was one thing that was very important to us when we were planning the conference and picking the speakers and putting together the lineup for the conference, because in Germany it's a very important thing to be considered, the whole data policy and privacy stuff. And yeah, I'm happy to hear that one of the guys from the US takes care of this as well. So there are not, based on our experience, not that much people who care about the legal stuff in general in the US. I mean, we attended some other events in the US before already, voice related, and we were sharing our experiences from the German market and the European new regulations and stuff, and they were quite surprised about how much importance there is for all this stuff, and that in some cases ideas didn't get to life because of these regulations. So did you have Germany already on your radar, or did you think that Germany is a serious market here as well before you made it to the conference?
No, to be honest, I'm not aware of the ecosystem in Germany specifically. Mm-hmm. I knew that, you know, GDPR is a huge topic because there's a lot of like unexplored territories in terms of how data from voice is being used, right? And that's regardless of the country. By region, the legal restrictions are obviously different, but in terms of how we communicate to people who use these devices, like how the data that they give by answering questions is used, I think it's a little bit of a gray area. First, I think in terms of just like what people are okay with and what people are not, and I think in that sense, like presentation really does matter of how you communicate that information and what value it adds, right? So mm-hmm. That's sort of what I wanted to find out, is how Germany or that region in general is addressing that, and how they're proposing value that, you know, gathering this data has, and doing that in a consumer first way.
Okay. And are you working on, if you can share it, are you working on international projects which also launched in the European market?
Nothing that I can talk about in depth, but I would say GDPR is on the radar for most US people anyways, because if you are GDPR compliant, right, that also sort of sets the road for other legal restrictions that you have to follow regardless of whether you have customers in the European region, right? So I would say it's definitely on people's radar, and it's something that every bot that we work on, it's a big topic. So yeah, I think for regardless of whether you have consumers in Europe, I think it's something that's on people's radar because it sets a good precedent anyways for being compliant with other laws.
Cool. So let's talk a bit about the conference. There were some other talks during the day as well. First of all, I want to ask you, was it your first time in Munich?
Yes, first time in Munich, first time in Germany in general.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. So did you enjoy Munich and Germany in general?
I did. I loved all the parks and just the lifestyle of being, you know, active and all that. I got to try the good food. Yeah, it was a good time.
Nice. So let's talk about the conference and the lineup. So the All About Voice conference took part October 12th in Munich. Please tell us, what are your maybe three main takeaways from that day?
Yeah, so I would say the first thing is just the fact that a bot is a lot of work. So if you are, I guess, under the impression that it's sort of build and then launch and that's it, it's not. I think it was a good reality check for anyone working on bots, really. So the example of Deshbron, sorry, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's taking them 28 design sprints to launch a bot. And that's not even working with other companies, right, except the Amazon experts that they work with. So working on that as an internal team, them taking that time, I think it was, I really appreciated them sharing that, because I don't think a lot of companies are willing to do that and sort of be, share their challenges, right, of working in this space. So I would say that was the main thing for me that left me a big impression. And then I think in terms of how like user experience was approached, I think for me, I learned to draw from everyday life inspiration in terms of how conversations should be structured. Because I think when we're designing like human to machine interactions, it's easy to put yourself in like a different mindset of, oh, I'm designing for a machine, but you know, it's conversational AI. So you, the inspiration should be from how you talk to humans and like the seamless, you know, most efficient way to do that, right? Even within human interactions. Mm-hmm. So thinking about things like taking a holistic, I guess, UX research approach, right? Is, do they check their phone first thing in the morning? Do they not because they get overwhelmed? Like all these questions that try to understand the users that you're building, either an Alexa skill or any kind of bot for, is helpful. And I think that's how you really add value to the consumer's life. So yeah, that was just a more of like a mindset approach that I learned. And then as always, like taking responsibility is always valuable, which applies to human relationships, human to machine relationships. So we want to know why a certain mistake happened. So I got that from the BBC talk. And being transparent will go a long way. And that should just be a principle in and of itself when you're building out the interactions, making sure that you're being transparent and whatever information you're asking for, you're doing that in a consumer first way where the data is being used for their good, mm-hmm. either to, you know, customize information that you give to them, or anything like that. You just need to make sure that it's actually providing value.
Okay, nice. Really, really good, really good insights on parts of the lineup. The first company you mentioned is Deutsche Bahn, but I think you pronounced it very, very good. So
I think that's just a little bit better.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you just mentioned is one technique or method to find the right use case for your voice or conversational application. That's by just watching and having a look on everyday life situations and routines during people's lives and see where can voice or a bot help to solve a specific problem, or where can voice or conversational interactions enhance or make things easier and more convenient? Yeah, that's one thing we try to teach our customers and clients as well. And I think this was one thing that was pretty good covered during the day. So you mentioned that the Deutsche Bahn, because it was very hands-on and sharing experiences from by having a look back, yeah, and not about just presenting how much value and how much impact voice could have in general. And Deutsche Bahn was on Alexa from the very first day when Alexa came out in Germany, and they learned a lot during the last 12 months and improved their skills. And you mentioned as well that this one was very, very good and very hands-on for you, right?
Yeah, so Deutsche Bahn, there we go. So I really appreciated them sharing the journey, not the end result, right? So I think that gave us a lot of insight. And it's a good way to, I think, look for ways to make that process scalable. So I think the process of building a bot is, because it's so time consuming and very cross departmental, I guess, with requiring people from different expertise. It's really helpful to share a timeline of how a certain goal was achieved, and not just the end result of how they got there.
Yeah, that gives a good overview about the effort that you it takes to get something like this up and running. I mean, Deutsche Bahn is facing a lot of problems with the automatic speech recognition and other things from the AI of the platforms, because they have so much data, and about, I think, more than 2,000 different ways and variations how to ask for a train connection from A to B. And all these variations have to be covered by Deutsche Bahn. And they have huge issues there, but not their fault. It's the fault of or some missing things and pieces in the technology itself. So you have to work with workarounds and stuff like that. But they did a pretty good job so far, I would say. So what do you think? Did you miss something, any specific topic or angle or perspectives during the day?
I wish there was more on the technical side about the challenges of voice, which could be how UX and engineering work together. It could be more breakdown of technical challenges when you're a training voice UI to work properly. But I think that would have been a really interesting topic, especially for a non-technical background, right? So it would be like a deep dive into, for example, like technical requirements that Deutsche Bahn had to go through.
Mm-hmm. So maybe something more in-depth workshop, or maybe breakout sessions where you just jump right into a mini design sprint or something like this, how they solved specific problems, or what do you think? What do you have in mind?
Yeah, that would be great if you could have a breakout session, and maybe it can be a mini design sprint, and taking into account the testing and all of that has to be done before launch. Because I think that's the part that gets missed a lot, is that it's quality, right? It's not just putting in a bunch of different functions and then launching and just seeing how it happens out in the wild. So I think for the design sprint, obviously that wouldn't be part of it because it's more about building out the concept and the functions. But yeah, maybe that could be it. It could be, you know, more on the technical side plus really like what is the guideline for how much testing you should get done, and what battles should you fight, I guess, mm-hmm. when you're trying to get yourself ready to launch something.
Okay. Are you an Alexa user or Google Assistant user?
More of an Alexa user, but I am trying to get more acquainted with the Google Home.
Okay. So because we had Dr. Nick Fine there, who is a UX researcher and who shared some thoughts and experience by giving us some insights in the psychological aspects of creating user experiences. And he showed us some funny videos at the end of his presentation from his UX labs and tests he made with it was for a chatbot on a website or on different websites, but quite interesting to see how people how emotional people get by using these conversational technologies. And I was asking if you are an Alexa user or a Google Assistant user because I want to know if you think that many voice apps or maybe as well chatbots did that job well of having all these things in mind and to anticipate the maybe users' behaviors as well.
I would say it's a spectrum. Some are very empathetic and it has that human touch that makes it, that goes beyond just communicating information, right? It does it in a way that seems very much like, okay, like I got your command and it provides some extra information and then it hands it off to them to continue the conversation, right? It's like a conversational flow. And some are more straight to the point and it has the skeleton of everything that needs to be said, but it just feels a bit mechanical and not conversational. But I think with that, you have to remember that, you know, with the bots that seem empathetic and seem truly conversational, which I would argue that there isn't a truly conversational one because it seems more like command and response at this point, but you know, that's a different point. Basically ones that seem empathetic, and sounds like it, like a human has worked on sort of crafting the language. That's when you're doing expected behavior, right? So I think the ones that seem, like it doesn't have that human touch and it's not responding as, it's not a seamless interaction in how the conversation is carried out. Those are because of the challenge of not being able to expect different ways people are going to respond. So I think that's just the nature of how it's command and response at this point. So it's I would say that's a definitely like work in progress in terms of how we want to write the script that way.
Yeah, I think this is one of the biggest challenges that we are facing or will face in the future by creating and outline characters and personalization and having or finding your tone of voice in chatbots, in voice applications to make a difference. So to transport your values and your brand and the aspects and the most important aspects of your brand and your product and service maybe. All right. Thank you for sharing. I mean, we're now getting closer to the end of the episode. I just want to ask you What are your sources of information and inspiration in regards to voice and UX in general?
So my inspiration is content that takes a holistic approach to UX, I would say. So processes that, you know, that doesn't have to stem from, information that doesn't have to stem from like cookie cutter questions, so age, gender, et cetera. Those I think can work as a baseline, but with something like virtual assistants, you can go deeper to find out how to design for accessibility, for example, right? And how to take conversational markers to know when you're done talking and when you're going to go into a different topic, for example. So it's more of a like a holistic look at what makes a good conversation, right? Not making it, you know, device specific or a specific interface. Just what makes a good conversation, what makes it a pleasant conversation that leaves a good impression on you after. So definitely more psychology based. Those are what I look to for information and inspiration on how to design conversations.
Okay, great. So Diana, thank you very much for being part of the All About Voice conference, now the podcast. Let's see what's next. Will we see you at the next conference?
Yes.
That's a big question at the end.
Just one answer, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, really looking forward to that. And yeah, thanks again for being part of the conference and of the podcast. And yeah, all the best for your project you're working on. Thank you.
Thank you.